Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I am here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church. And every Wednesday we sit down and talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today we're answering two thoughtful questions.
Question number one, ready?
We're just right out of the gate. We're heading into these questions.
Yeah, right out of the gate. Here's the question. Tell us about a person who's been a formative influence in your life, spiritually speaking. And then, what did they do, and why was it formative? Who wants to go first?
Where did we get these questions from?
Well, you came up with them.
Yeah, but what was the context?
The context was we did these questions on our staff retreat.
Yes,
it was a really good discussion on our staff retreat. And we just thought, hey, that was so helpful that we thought we would offer up that same exercise to our listeners.
I'd like to try to ask questions that help me understand your story a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't know who's going to go first, so...
Let's rock, paper, scissors for it.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, right. Is it one, two? Okay. Is it on three or one,
rock,
two, three,
rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay.
Man, that's good clarification.
We got to get clear on that.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, Dusty, I am dominating. Dusty wins that one. I am dominating. Does that mean I go first?
If you win, you go first, or if you lose, you go first?
I'm going to go first.
Yeah, leaders, if you win, you go first.
Leaders go first.
You all lost. Also, we should say that Travis Barrett is here.
Yeah, we're making Travis answer these questions.
Coram Deo intern. Too.
Hello. This is what happens when Chris is gone. I take his mic.
That's yeah.
Right. Amen.
So, man, there's been some formative people over my life. I would say, though, the first person that comes to mind when I was thinking about this question is... my youth pastor, Pastor Joe Dergo, which for those of you who have heard my story, you know this, but most of you don't. And I became a Christian in high school, which is a pretty significant thing when you become a Christian midway through high school. It was the summer of my sophomore year. So basically 50% of my high school career was pagan and ridiculous. And then the next 50% was learning how to walk with Christ for really those 2 years before going off to college. And what did they do? Like, what did Joe do? Really what he did was he introduced me to the scriptures. But I also had some other influences in scripture. So it wasn't just that, but really what he did was he gave me, his life. He gave me a ridiculous amount of time. Looking back on that, I am amazed at how much time and hospitality he showed me. That was everything from hunting to after school. I'd just go to the church office and I would do homework in his church office. I would, and then part of my family story is such that I didn't necessarily want to be home, especially as I was, once I could drive, I didn't necessarily go home after school. It wasn't a place of spiritual nourishment to give an understatement. And so I would just hang out with Joe a lot. And it was very formative. I didn't realize it at the time, but it was extremely formative for me because he gave me, in that time, he was giving me his life. And really when you're giving somebody your life as a minister of the gospel, you're also giving them godliness. You're giving them purity. You're giving them values to live by. And also he loved Jesus and he enjoyed loving Jesus. He had a deep amount of joy. He still does. That was very crucial for me at that particular time in my life. Now, have we gone different paths and done different things? Of course. But that is probably somebody at least, on my short list for who has been very formative for me.
Awesome. Do we now rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah, I think that tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker. Between us three.
Oh. Guys, I went paper. You got to go paper, Travis.
So I lost.
So you?
That means you got to go.
Do I go? Okay. All right.
Hey, I won and went.
Yeah. Right, and I lost.
Yeah. I just wanted to make that known.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good job. So the person that came to mind was my friend Craig. I met him doing summer ministry in early 2000s. Yes, by like a summer Bible camp ministry. And I was at this point in my life where I wasn't satisfied where I was at and going to school. I had some relationships I was really unsure about, had a friend group that wasn't super supportive throughout all of that. And Craig said, hey, why don't you just come up to Wayne, Nebraska and come to college with me? We actually need some ministry help at Crusade. We need some worship leading help. So why don't you come up? And I dropped everything and moved to Wayne.
Wow.
A year later. It took me a year to get there, but eventually I got there.
Everybody gets to Wayne eventually.
Hey, yeah. I dropped everything was like, what were you dropping? Like,
I dropped a girlfriend, dropped a job.
Wow.
Something? I changed colleges, went into more school debt.
Yeah. Okay. Hey.
So something significant. Some if I would have dropped something, it would have been like a sandwich or something.
But what Craig introduced me into was, one of the first experiences, we didn't call it gospel community, but, my first experience of gospel community, where our messiness was kind of out in the open and we loved each other and pointed each other to Jesus in the midst of it. We didn't judge each other. We didn't backbite. We didn't gossip. We didn't shun each other out of the community, but it was, hey, we're going to bring people into a community where people can experience the love of the church and the love of Christ. And I was able to take that from Wayne and into my life back here in Omaha. And, I'm just really thankful for that guy. And I still see him multiple times throughout the year. He's a pastor down in Lincoln now. And so, he continues to be an influence in my life, pushing me towards Jesus and still loving me and accepting me as a friend. So love you, Craig.
You think he's listening?
Yeah, probably. Actually, I think he is. Yeah.
I don't have the rock, paper, scissors with Travis. No. I'm just gonna make Travis go. Travis, you're next.
Hey-o.
All right. I guess that's how it goes. So yeah, this is a pretty easy question for me. There's one person that just immediately comes to my mind. Is my stepdad, Chris, Chris Soppy. So when I was, I think 12 years old, my parents got divorced and my mom got remarried to this guy named Chris Soppy. I was kind of, my exposure to Christianity was that it was kind of like, learning as much information, but, as much, as far as like actually connecting it to how you live, I really didn't see that much played out in my family. But Chris completely changed that for me. So what did he do? Some of the things that, I think looking back now, I can see I'm like astounded that he did these things. But at the time, I didn't quite understand the significance of them. Was, for example, before he met my mom, he was married to another woman who died of cancer. But while she was going through the treatments, he built this house up in the Black Hills, this massive log cabin. I've been there like a lot of times. It's like this huge, beautiful, absolutely gorgeous like cabin house, as you know, they have in the Black Hills. And he had he was the regional manager of all the Sam's Club around Rapid City in that area. So pretty high up, had a great job, had a beautiful house. And his wife passed and about a year later, he met my mom, they got married. And, I have three siblings. And so there's four of us and it's my mom. And instead of making all of us, move from Northwest Iowa into South Dakota and kind of uproot our lives, he decided to sell his house and to give up his job. And so he moved into our dingy little house. He gave up his job and became like an assistant manager of the local Walmart, which is like a huge step down, both in like salary and responsibility. But like looking back, I'm just astounded that that was something he was willing to do. It was completely sacrificial, selfless love that was completely coming from his experience with Christ. And that was foreign to me. And looking back, I'm just like, wow, I am so blessed that this guy was in my life. At the time, what really influenced me was, I think, just living day in and day out with him in the house, seeing a godly man. What does that look like? How does he interact with people? Not being a pushover, but being completely filled with love and completely filled with selflessness was something foreign to me. And that made a lasting impact on me of what Christian faith even is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I like to be able to brag on him because he's a huge influence on me.
Yeah, that's amazing. What a manly story too.
Yeah,
that's a dude just
getting inspired,
taking responsibility for a family, which is awesome. Mm. I got 12 different ways I could answer this question, so I was trying to think about what answer I want to give because there are multiple people who have had a pretty formative influence on my life. I'm going to go with Will Walker. go kind of counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. I was going to go youth pastor. You took that one.
Yeah.
I think what's funny about that is there are ways, if Will answers your question, he might say that I was a formative. There's ways we have just, our friendship over time has been deeply formative for both of us. But what did Will do for me, or what has he done? A couple things. One, just a sense of like steady faithfulness over time. So sure. Like I felt like he has always believed the best about me, loved me, sure. Walked alongside me, rooted for me, confronted me, prayed with me. I mean, there's just a sense of like, he's just been a faithful, steady, consistent friendship in my life for two decades now. And that's really, that has borne fruit in my soul, because I think it, the longer you go in life, and I think this is generally true, the more you tend to have like people who used to be friends, but they're not anymore. Not because there was a falling out, but just because, you know, you're not in high school anymore. You're not in college anymore. You don't live in that town anymore. You don't work at that place anymore. There's just ways that, you know, friends kind of have, they continue to keep sort of moving in different circles. And so the long-term friendships in your life tend to be ones that there's actually really a commitment to like mm-hmm. staying engaged, staying present with each other.
Yep.
And for me, Will is that guy who there have been situations, where I just feel like completely understood by him. Like he gets me, and he knows like the things I will do that drive people crazy. He understands like, oh, I know why Bob does that. It totally drives me crazy too, but I just understand why he does it. And so it's not like, it doesn't bother me. Let me explain to you where he can get inside my head in ways I'm like, I don't even understand why I do that. But that's a really intelligent way of explaining it.
It's a good friend.
But Will is has been a faithful and diligent and persistent friend in my life over time, in ways that have really blessed my soul, and that in moments of hardship, difficulty, challenge, have his leaning into those moments and believing the best about me in those moments and walking with me through some of those moments has been a real blessing to my soul. And he helped me lead Cormdale Church for 4 years and helped shape a lot of what we do here in ways that still to this day bear fruit.
Question number two.
Here's the second question.
Are we rock, paper, scissoring?
No, we're just going to go in the same order because you guys keep cheating. So... I mean, leaders go first, so I won and went first. Bob, you lost and somehow got to go last. So anyway, here's
I lost.
Yeah, you lost tied. And hijacked the whole thing. So stop it. Here's the second question. And we're going to read this part, okay? So tell us about a section of scripture that's particularly beloved or influential for you. Why this text? How has God used it in your life? So... I will say, I'm not going to read. I'm breaking my own rules. I said, we're going to read the text. Wow. So I think it would be formative for us. If you can share, gentlemen, this is a good idea. If you guys can do that. I'm not going to read all of Philippians.
Thank you.
Because all of Philippians would take another podcast, but I will read this part because this is beloved to me. Philippians 3, starting in verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. All of Philippians is very dear to me. That particular section of Philippians is really dear to me, partly because, I want to be able to pray like that. I want to be able, I really do mean that. I want to align with Paul in that passion and be found in Christ. My prayer is that when people find me, they would find me in Christ, and in every situation in life. That's my prayer. And I love his passion behind that. All of Philippians is dear to me because I memorized the whole book with a dear friend and have a commitment to reading it once a week, just as renewal, and have done so for the last few years. And I would love to do that more. And so it was just, there was a good friendship over Philippians, and Philippians speaks about joy and kinship that Paul has with the Philippian church. I need that joy and kinship often. And so I kind of let it become kind of a prayer book and a joy reminder, if you will. So it's just one of those sections of scripture that is never worn out, nor will it ever. It'll never be redundant for me. I always find myself longing when I read Philippians.
Who wants to go next?
Mike does.
All right. I was going to do Psalm 27, Dusty. I thought you were going to pick Psalm 27.
That's in the top five. In
there. But it's in the top five. I went ahead and went to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. This passage was shared with me. I went through a year-long eldership process back in 2015. And at the end of that process, it was clear that I wasn't ready to move forward through that. And that was a hard thing for me to grapple with. And Nick Clatterbuck, one of our elders here, called me knowing that that was a hard moment for me and reminded me of this verse. And it's just been one that I've constantly gone to just to be reminded that my sufficiency, my confidence, and even my competence is from the Lord, not of, you know, a title that I have here on earth, not of the result of a process, you know, as I was seeing it at that time, a goal to be attained, you know, the goal of eldership, that was an ultimate thing for me. And as that has weaned, as that has gone away, this verse has still remained true for me and just reminding me that, who I am before the Lord, and what he's equipped me with, just because I'm in him and the Spirit's in me.
I don't know if I knew that story till right now.
Yeah, that's good.
But what a cool picture even of like what shepherding looks like, right? Yeah. Of a dude reaching out to another dude and be like, hey man, I know this might be sad for you. I want to encourage you with this piece of scripture. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a redeeming moment for sure. And one that's continued over the years.
Well, Dusty, kind of going with what you were saying, I was wanting to do all of Mark, but I can't read all of Mark here. So I'll just read
you
Mark.
You can. It would just be a long podcast.
I might stop.
We have another podcast called the Daily Liturgy podcast. Yeah.
So I'm just going to read Mark 10:45, which I think summarizes it well. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So again, kind of all of Mark, I feel like, is a beloved passage for me, especially for where I was reading it in my life. So in 2016, I took a class at Grace University, a Bible college.
God rest its soul.
Yep.
Rest in pieces.
And I took a Bible class on Mark, and I got to the class and saw that there was no textbook for the class, which, as you know, a poor college student, I was like, yes, I don't have to buy anything other than my Bible. Like, I already have that. That's awesome. But kind of weird. So I went there, I'm like, what commentaries are we going to be using? And my teacher kind of introduced this idea of like, hey, we're just going to spend this entire semester just reading Mark, and we're just going to learn what Mark is saying by reading it and like talking about it and meditating it. And I was like blown away. I was like, what? You don't need a commentary. You don't need anything. You can just read scripture and like actually see what the person is trying to say. And so that whole semester was completely eye-opening to me, not just for Mark, but like all of the Bible. Like, wait, so I can do this with like every book of the Bible. I can actually read and figure out what this person is trying to say and how God has inspired that. And then that summer, I go to camp and as a camp counselor, and the book that we're going through with all the students is Mark. And I was like, oh, sweet. This is perfect. I was just learning all semester about this. And so I spent all summer each week going through Mark over and over and over and over again with these students teaching it. And then that summer was also the same summer that my stepdad, Chris, passed away, which was kind of like the final.
Didn't see that one coming.
No. Wow. Like, yeah.
That was a tie into the first question.
Yeah, right?
Keep going.
And for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I feel like his death, which even how he died, he died going, helping our neighbors cut down a tree in their yard. And so I'm like, he even died serving others and loving others. And so,
which was like a tragic accident.
Yes. Yeah. Something went wrong and the tree fell the wrong way. And that solidified, I feel like, Mark, this chapter, and just again, the life that Chris lived and what Christianity is to me, of like, man, this is not about me getting anything out of this. This is like Christ gave all for me, and therefore I need to empty myself and serve and not try to be served. And I went back to camp with like this new vigor of like what Christianity and Mark is all about, and trying to instill in these students. Like I remember the two, I went back like the week after he passed, and both groups of students, it was like a really cathartic experience of like being able to instill in them. Before, it was kind of like, again, my tendency is kind of like going to more of an intellectual, this is what the book is saying. And it had God used that experience to completely instill in me, like, no, this is what this book is about. And like, we need to serve, and this is what Christ has done for us. So yeah, that was that whole year I felt like was the book of Mark, and just a lot of things coming to a head all at once that God used really uniquely in my life.
Well, it was the 1980s.
That was a while back. I wouldn't have been any older than 11.
In the house I grew up in, there was a cross stitch thing on the wall. I assume someone had given it to my parents. I don't think my mom was a cross stitcher.
I cross stitched some things when I was growing up in the 80s.
It's a good craft to learn.
Yeah.
This is about Bob, Mike.
I'm connecting.
It's also a very 80s kind of craft.
Yeah.
There was this thing on the wall. It was like a framed cross stitch that someone had done. It was on the stairs. And so every day when I came downstairs, I would pass it. And the text, it was a text from the Bible. It was Jeremiah 9:23-24. I'm going Old Testament. You guys all hung out in the New Testament, but actually there's a larger part of the Bible called the Old Testament.
I feel rebuked.
It's all the Bible. Jeremiah 9:23-24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. There's so much packed into those two verses.
Yeah.
And I think that was just an anchoring scripture for my entire growing up, recognizing, hey, maybe I have some wisdom, maybe I have some might, maybe I have a certain amount of the world's riches. None of those things matter. What I need to boast in is, what's worth boasting in is, do I understand and know the Lord? And then that statement about who God is. I am the Lord who practices hesed, steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. In these things I delight. So just that sense of like, it tells me who God is. He's a God who practices love, justice, and righteousness. And these are what he delights in. And so that needs to affect what I practice and who I am. And so there was just something about coming downstairs every single day of my life, walking past that cross stitch, and, you know, just that seeping into me. That I think was a really grounding scripture. And it's funny because I, you know, that's burned into my memory. And yet the book of Jeremiah isn't a book I go to very frequently. I mean, it's, you know, it's one of the major prophets in the Old Testament, and it's not quite a passage that's quite as common to hear in a sermon as passages like in Mark or Philippians or 2 Corinthians. You know, there's just, you don't go to Jeremiah quite as much.
Yeah.
But it's kind of one of those little gems of like, but those little two verses, man, say a whole lot about who God is, about what it means to be made in God's image, and about the kind of life that God desires of me. And so that's mine.
Bonus question. Just kidding. There's no bonus question.
No bonus question. I mean, this is good. It's good to chop it up like this. It's good to have a window into each other's lives. And so, I mean, we've done this as a team. We've done it just here. Even if you're just
maybe you should do it as a listener.
Yeah, you're doing it as a listener, you know, like it's just you and your AirPods driving down the street, you know. We encourage you, take a moment, not even just now, but later on, set aside some time. Think about those people who have spiritually shaped you, formed you. What did they do? And is the Lord asking you to do that? And then also, Travis, you can't do this because of Chris's death, but I think it's also very honoring to return back and say, hey.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
I've done this practice and I'm really grateful for you. And I think it's also good to reflect on scripture that you haven't just read, but that has seeped into you and thank the Lord for that.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. As always, we love to hear from you, so send us an email, podcast@cdomaha.com. Send us your questions, your future podcast topic ideas. Maybe you have a 1980s cross stitch that you want to share with us. Send us a picture, and we'll see you again next Wednesday for another Wednesday conversation.